This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast. Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we have three chapters on the way from The Starseeds of Earth, from The Adventures of Alibi Jones, coming up on this episode. Making preparations to move the hornet's nest. Just what some of these preparations are could be interesting. Three shortest chapters, a little over 16 minutes of story time coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, I've decided now is the time to finally get a new Vatican Assassin trilogy together, featuring the 15th anniversary edition of Vatican Assassin. Had to let that be out for a while, you know, and it has been now, almost a year. So now I'm planning to put together a new collected Vatican Assassin trilogy with the updated first book. And of course, the second edition of Vatican Ambassador in there, too. So I may go through Vatican Abdicator and see if it needs any tweaking before I do that. If I get really ambitious. Otherwise, it's just going to be repackaging the new stuff. So, we'll see what happens. But that's in the works now, a new Vatican Assassin trilogy collection, getting planned and put together. Debating cover art right now, whether I just want to do graphics or see about getting another piece done for the cover. We'll see. I think once I do this, too, I might make a special hardcover edition available to patrons only. So, thinking of these things. If you do want to become a patron and help support this podcast and, you know, get stuff like that hardcover in the future, just head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and look for the link to Patreon. I have three different levels. You can become a member, a supporter for $2, $5, or $10 a month. And that goes basically to help pay for podcasting and hosting and all the rest to help support these efforts. And my thanks to those who do this now, because you guys are helping me keep this all together, especially through the lean times, you know? Makes it possible to say, oh, got to keep it going. Got those patrons, they're supporting it, so it really has sustained me, especially over the last, say, 3-4 years. Missing Balticon this year, that's in the news. I'm not there, and not doing any digital component. I didn't even look into the digital component. I think they may have adapted it as they went along. At first, there wasn't going to be one. But I just, after 2 years of Zoom and doing Balticon that way, my heart just wasn't into it this year. So I didn't feel like traveling down there either. So maybe next year. I'm hoping next year to get back in the swing of things with conventions and such. But I am definitely missing Balticon this Memorial Day weekend. I'd usually be down on the Inner Harbor and Maryland there in Baltimore. But nope. Still in Burlington, in my hometown, Burlington, Vermont. I did go out to Lone Rock Point yesterday, which was just beautiful. Although dude bros were at my secluded place where you usually can check out the Champlain Thrust Fault. It's like, really? You guys are down here partying? Oh, go home! get off my lawn! I don't know. Getting old, I suppose. That is enough book news and other ruminations. We'll get into those three chapters coming up from the Starseeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 69 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Emily found Katie and DJ in the galley. The original mess hall for the Hornet's Nest now served as a sort of company lunchroom for those who worked for the nest, and Katie and DJ were enjoying a meal there as a perk of working on the new project. Mind if I join you? Emily asked. Sure, sit down, DJ said. Where's Alibi? Katie asked. I don't know, Emily said. You mean you two aren't a thing? Katie asked. You were almost finishing each other's sentences, DJ said. Cute. Emily hoped she wasn't blushing. She didn't think she blushed. And she was never cute. Hated that word. Maybe she shouldn't have sat down with these two women. We are not a thing, Emily said. Sometimes I think we might become a thing. Other times, I'm just not sure. He gets weird about things. Don't I know it, Katie said. You, Emily. You? DJ asked Katie, surprised. You and Alibi Jones. We had a thing, Katie said. Alibi and I. A while ago now. He saved my life, maybe a few times. But I'm not really a people person. Relationships and me don't mix. I don't want anyone depending on me, or want anyone to think I'm depending on them. His aunt's a bit much, too. She's his mom, don't let the aunt thing fool you. She raised him. She can be a lot, but she hasn't been around that much lately, Emily said. She's hooked up with Billy Gentry, of all people. Really? DJ said, surprised. I would not have seen that coming, Katie said. So that's why he's here. She likes the bad boys, Emily said. She laughed. Katie stared at her for a moment. Then she burst out laughing. What's so funny? DJ asked. You'd have to know her, Katie said. Alibi's on Emily. That older guy at the briefing, that was the Billy Gentry then, right? Gentry? Emily asked. You mean just earlier? Yeah, DJ said. Not just a guy with the same name. That's kind of what I thought. I was like thinking, same name as the governor. Wow, that must be annoying. But then, it's him. Yep, Emily said. She laughed. Krish calls him Governor Godfather. And he's on our side? DJ asked. Let's hope so, Emily said. So, what is Alibi up to tonight? Katie asked again. I really don't know, Emily said. Probably just hanging out at home. He said he wanted to be left alone. She was a little annoyed to be asked again, so she changed the subject. Are you still assassinating? How's tricks? Please don't ever call them tricks, Katie said, again. Sorry, Emily said. She tried again. How is business? Fine, Katie said. I'm building my reputation, one job at a time. Don't suppose there's any other way, Emily said. She turned to DJ. Are you an assassin too? DJ laughed. But Katie spoke first. We're called bounty hunters, Emily, Katie said. DJ here is more of a mercenary, professional soldier. Oh, really? Emily said. I used to be a grunt, safe, regular infantry. No kidding, DJ said. You seem way too smart to be a grunt. Thanks, Emily said, I think. Heh, DJ smiled. I suppose us smart grunts figure out how not to be grunts rather quickly. Intelligence is never appreciated in the infantry, Emily said. I don't know, DJ, Katie said. If you're so smart, why aren't you going for the big bounty hunter dollars? DJ grinned. You've already discovered the problem there, DJ said. There may be big bucks. I don't see you rolling in dough. But sure, maybe there are. But how many jobs are there? Bounty hunters go after single individuals, usually. You're working one by one by one, always chasing the next job, and in competition with others, who also happen to be professional killers. Tough crowd. Yep, Katie said. But there are always wars going on. People always need soldiers, DJ said. Plus, I don't have some fancy alien wraparound killing goo at my command. Please don't call the Rode substance goo, DJ, Katie said. They are my sentient partners, and they want you to understand the substance is simply their physical manifestation. They're mostly energy beings. Energy beings who also do things like rip apart Sekta, DJ said. Her eyes went wide. That was pretty sick. What? Emily asked. A Sekta? Katie frowned. We shouldn't talk about this, Katie said. What? DJ said. She's a soldier. One of us. You killed a Sekta? Emily prodded Katie. Can't discuss it, Katie said. There's, like, a code. Icon backed her up on her last job. We have complementary skills. Work together some, DJ said. You should have seen it. The good Rode substance shot about 7 pseudo-arms off of her. Each one grabbed a limb of the Sekta, or its head, and pulled. The Rode went a little overboard, Katie said, relenting a little. After I pictured the way we pull apart lobster and crab legs to eat them. Ew, Emily said, visualizing the kill. As impressive as they are, I'm still not sure I could wear the Rode around the way you do, DJ said. I don't wear them, though, Katie said. This is coexistence, not wardrobe choice. And not just a weapon, either. Yes, DJ said. Well, you and your coexisting partners can do some scary shit. Emily yawned. I'm sorry, she said, just realizing how exhausted I am from all the planning and everything. She stood up. Thanks for letting me hang with you some. Good to know a fellow grunt, DJ. See you tomorrow, grunt, DJ joked. Good night, Emily said. See you both tomorrow. Night, Katie said. Emily left the table. As she walked away, she heard Katie again. What do you suppose Alibi Jones is up to? Emily rolled her eyes. Chapter 70. Who is it? Alibi asked the door alarm.
Laurel Eden, came the response.
Open, Alibi said. The door slid open. Laurel was standing outside.
Hey, Laurel said. Can I come in?
I kind of want to be alone right now, Alibi said. Is it important?
What is she doing here?
Maybe, she said.
Depends on your perspective.
Okay, he said. But just for a few minutes, okay? She walked into his apartment, and the door slid shut behind her. Security, lock and alarm. Alibi said. So, what do you want, Laurel? She stepped up next to him and unzipped her flight jumpsuit down past her navel. Then she took his right hand in her left and guided it to her skin, to her side, the curve of her breast, and, with her right hand, she reached up behind his neck
and pulled him towards her to kiss him, hard and deeply. As she let up on the kiss, he drew away a little, let his hand slide off her breast, but he kept it on her side. He looked her in the eyes. "What are you doing?" he asked her. "I want a fresh start with you," she said.
"Like this?"
"Like this," she said, and leaned in to kiss him again. He returned her energy this time, so she shrugged the jumpsuit off her shoulders. Alibi's hand slid up, his thumb playing across her hardening nipple, his other hand on her back. She reached over and pulled down on the zipper of Alibi's jumpsuit. He broke off the kiss.
"We shouldn't be doing this," Alibi said.
"Why do you say that?"
"I feel guilty."
"Why?" "You're not seeing anyone, you said."
She looked him in the eyes.
"Are you?"
"No."
"Not Emily?"
"No."
"Well, it's just, it's clear Emily likes you. Anyone can see that,"
Laurel said. "They can?"
"Well, yeah," she said. "Or maybe other women see it. But that shouldn't make you feel guilty."
She zipped the jumpsuit down past her hips and leaned in and kissed him again. With a little shake, the jumper fell off the rest of the way. "Come on," she said, breaking off the kiss, but holding on to his hand.
"Where's your bedroom?"
"Down that hallway," he said. She pulled him by the hand. With her naked skin glistening with a hint of perspiration, she led him down the hall to the bedroom.
She does have a shapely butt.
Chapter 71. Laurel wasn't there in the morning when Alibi woke up. With her gone and the bright light of day, the night seemed like a dream. A hot and steamy dream.
"What did I do?"
He hit the refresher to get ready for the big day ahead. Laurel dominated his thoughts.
"How serious is she? Was it just a fling? Or is she going to want to move in or something? How will Emily take it? Who says she has to know? Why do I feel so guilty? Where did Laurel go?"
He sent her a good morning over the wand. Then Alibi dressed and headed up to the control room to wish Emily and the team staying inside the nest during the move good luck.
"Hello, Alibi," Emily said. She sounded cheerful, hopeful.
"Hi, Emily," Alibi said. "Ready for the big move?"
"You sound different," she said.
"I'm pumped up for today, I guess," he said.
"No, that's not it," she said.
"Doesn't matter."
She frowned.
"What does that mean?"
He turned away from her a little so he could address everyone.
"I just wanted to wish everybody here good luck today," Alibi proclaimed in a loud voice so everyone in the control room could hear him.
"Thanks! Thank you, Alibi! Thank you!" the folks around the room responded. He smiled and turned back to Emily.
"I'm going to head to the AD Foster and start running through checklists," Alibi said. "Have any of the other pilots checked in yet?"
"Not yet," she said. "But it's early."
"Let me know as they do, then," he said. "Try to stagger their departure time so they aren't all obviously working together."
"Yeah, that's what I was thinking," Emily said.
"See? Same wavelength," Alibi joked.
"I don't think so, Alibi," she said. She frowned again. "Just makes sense."
"Okay."
He found himself frowning and tried to smile. He got halfway there, and then turned and walked out of the control room. He was tempted to turn back and look up behind him as he walked away to see if there was a big glowing sign that said "Guilty" hanging over his head.
The way Emily was acting? It's like she knew, as soon as I opened my mouth. What did I say?
He pulled out his wand. No reply from Laurel, either.
Great start to the day.
He headed down to the private ship bays for the Foster and saw his Aunt Anita standing with Gentry. They spotted him before he could avoid them,
He waved and walked over. He needed to play nice for now. He needed Gentry to pilot a ship.
"Good morning," Alibi said as he approached.
"Captain Gentry reporting for duty,"
Gentry said, and he mock-saluted Alibi.
"William," Anita said, in that tone of voice that only needed your name to communicate volumes of displeasure. Alibi knew that tone of voice all too well. Truth be told, he kind of missed it.
"Anita," Gentry said back, gentle but stern. She ignored him.
"You just missed that unpleasant woman," Anita said.
"Lara Leedon was just here," Gentry said, "heading to her ship."
"Oh," Alibi said.
"That seems deliberate. Not a great sign."
"Alibi," his aunt said, his name a question.
"You got a thing for her now?"
Gentry said.
"William,"
Anita said again.
"I suppose you could do worse,"
Gentry said. "But watch out, the woman only really loves cash money. I don't know. Maybe you should go for her."
"William,"
Anita sounded authentically angry now.
"What? It would stop her from bothering us."
"You think so? What if she went after poor Alibi just to bother us? Show up at family functions and dinners?"
"Stay away from her, kid. She's trouble,"
Gentry said. He winked at Alibi.
"Yeah, none of this is too creepy. What have I gotten myself into?"
"I'll remember that," Alibi said.
"Be careful out there, Alibi," his aunt said. "And please watch out for William. I've asked him to do the same for you. I know you two have many differences, but for today, please watch each other's asses. You're the most important beings in my universe. Do it for me, okay?"
Alibi nodded.
"Promise me," she said. "Both of you, now, say it."
"I promise," Alibi said.
"Me too, I promise," Gentry said.
"That you'll look out for each other," she said.
"Say it. Say you'll promise to look out for each other."
"I promise I'll look out for him," Alibi said.
"I promise I'll look out for him," Gentry said. "You happy with that?"
"Yes," she said. She smiled. "I wish either of you meant it, but it's at least a start."
"I'll talk to you over the comm next," Alibi said. He walked off down the row of bays towards his ship.
That was Chapter 71 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. And we heard Chapters 70 and 69 as well. Alibi getting to know Laurel Eden better? Or not, really. Not really. And the pieces are falling into place. We'll see if Alibi Jones can actually maneuver and move the Hornet's Nest out from its home there in the home asteroid field on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation,
copyright 2022
by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.